that the parables that Jesus spoken. Now, this one here in Mark, this one doesn't often get a lot of attention. As a matter of fact, only Mark tells us about it. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Man, I tell you what, I've had the best time this summer playing in my front yard. I have a hard time getting grass to grow in my front yard. I think I've shared this with you. I have put coffee grounds, pot ash, I've put lime, everything I can to try to balance the pH problems in the yard. Everything I've read says it's not going to work, but bless my heart, I'm going to try anyway. I've researched different kinds of seeds of grass to put on there, some that are okay with the shade, some that can grow where the pH is thrown off. I'm just looking for that magic seed that would grow on that little bit of shelf dust that grows. Man, I need a miracle seed to make that work. Now, in my backyard, though, right outside my glass door, I have this patio with some cracks in it. I never put down any fertilizer. I never put down any seed. I don't treat it. I don't put anything I read on the internet to put down on there. And guess what? That grass, it flourishes. I've got no idea why. It doesn't get any sunlight. Doesn't get any encouragement. I don't even pray for that patch. You know, Lord, everywhere but there, let the grass grow. And guess what? There it is. Isn't it weird? For all the inventions and all the things that we have created to make things grow on their own. And we've got all this science and all this. I mean, think of the sheer buckets of money we dump on trying to make the ground do what the ground would naturally do if we just let it do it naturally. Right now, I'm not a farmer. I don't have a heavy extent of knowledge. I am not against fertilizers. I'm not sitting there saying it's right or it's wrong. But consider the money we put into it. And yet, if I go off, I will find wild fruits and vegetables. I will find animals not having to be farmed. Why? Because God set the world to do what the world is going to do. Now, of course, when it comes down to making massive amounts of something, we got to put extra effort into it, and that's where the science comes in, of course. But what we're looking at is the way God made things; it naturally grows. Now, this is not an agricultural sermon here. This parable speaks of a farmer who throws the seed and having no idea how it works and being no part of the work that happens within the ground and still being able to benefit from the process. Now, this was written at a time where people didn't really understand what was going on in the ground. Now we could sit there and you could Google it for half a second and find out, see all the different pictures of the different stages of a seed, its death, its growth, the roots taking shape into the dirt, going deep down, the budding, the stem coming up, and all the different stuff. We can diagram it, we can monitor it, but back then the farmers would just be like, all right, when I put this in the ground, baby ones come out. And that's what they knew, and that's what they did. So the farmer is sitting there laying out this seed, having no idea how it's going to work. Right? I know that if I sit there and I throw out the bean seeds, beans will grow. And if I throw out the corn seeds, corn will grow. Right? And he's just doing that year in and year out and harvesting. Not knowing the science, not being able to do a thing for it once it enters into the ground. Very much the same as the Word of God works. We preach the Word of God. At least we ought to. We read and consume the Word of God. We put it into practice in our lives. And it works. We look again, this is not just him telling an offhanded story or giving a fun illustration. He's explaining to us the inner workings of the kingdom of God. Verse 26 again. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. This is how it works. And in the parable before this, not the light one, but the one prior, we were talking about last week, the seed was the word.
Into our head that perhaps what God said isn't what he meant.
I don't think I've ever been interrupted by myself before. I mean, I've done some crazy things, but interrupt myself, that's one I've never... But now I kind of want to know what I was getting at. But no, we looked last week, the seed was the word of God. And we see it again, that seed being thrown out. And we don't know exactly how it's going to work. We don't know exactly what God's going to do with my obedience to it or my application of it. I don't know how he's going to work it out. But I know that regardless of my understanding of it, what God says will happen, will happen. And I don't need to worry about it. And I don't need to fuss with it. And I don't need to add to it. And I don't need to make it happen my way. I just need to directly apply the word of God. We looked at this verse just recently, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word being quick, what does that word quick mean? It's alive. And it's not just quick, but has a quickening power to it. It makes us alive. The Holy Spirit uses the preached word of God to convict our hearts, both of sin and for our need of salvation. And he continues to use the word to prick our hearts, to get better behavior out of us. We see there the necessity, the downright need for the word of God and how lost we are without it. We see continuing on in this verse is quick. It is powerful. It's powerful. I mean, I tell you what, man, when you have a migraine, I've been having migraines a little bit more lately than normal. When you have a migraine, do you go for just the regular stuff? Or do you reach right in for the extra strength stuff? As a matter of fact, I remember when Danielle was first, when she was first pregnant with Xander. She needed the regular aspirin. They don't let you take the extra strength. You had to have the regular. And I made the mistake, one of the many mistakes that I made. She worked at a CVS. And she didn't work there at that moment because she had gone on. She got a job in her field. But I had gone back to that CVS where her old familiar coworkers were there. And I couldn't find the regular strength Tylenol. So I had to go up and, oh, hi, how are you? Yes, yes, she's good. Everything's wonderful. How are you? Oh, very good. Hey, where's the regular strength Tylenol? Now, what's the rule when you first find out you're pregnant? You're not allowed to tell anybody for a certain period of time. And it was like the day, wasn't it? It was like the day you'd gone to the doctor. And I was like, I need the regular strength Tylenol. And this lady who Danielle really loved, really looked up to, looks over and she goes, why? Who's pregnant? Now, I was not prepared for a level of deception there. I'm sitting there. She just read my fortune. How'd she know? How'd she know? I'm busted. Now, we don't really go for the regular strength stuff, do we? We want the extra strength stuff. And yet, how many people are sitting there trying to garner advice from the world instead of going for the powerful word of God? I've got problems in my marriage. I've got problems in my finances. I've got problems in my work. I got problems with my this, my problems with my that. What do I do? You go to the more sure word. That's what you ought to do. We go to that powerful word. It is powerful to do what God would have it to do. Is this isn't sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me tell you what that looks like. You know how sometimes when you're in trouble or you've done something wrong and you don't want it to look as bad, so you start trying to tell the story in a way that makes you look not so bad, right? You know how you do that? The word of God cuts straight through it. You know that thing that everybody tells you is bad, but you don't think it's so bad? The Word of God cuts straight through that and tells you the truth. When preachers and pastors and people from different denominations, they get into their debates and they posture at each other and they puff their chest at each other, you know what cuts through all that nonsense? The Word of God. Because it says what it says. And people with a heart and a mind to pay attention and look at it, they're going to have a hard time saying anything else when the Word of God speaks. Because it's not as gray as the world wants it to be. It's not as gray as God's people want it to be sometimes. Job 23:12, what is our response? What is our response to this word that is quick and powerful and cuts through our silliness and cuts through our games and cuts through our lack of understanding and our sin nature? Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's another verse we looked at last week. More than my necessary food. More than the stuff I need to make sure my body keeps running. It is important. Because what is the purpose of a body that runs but a spirit that has fallen short? What is the purpose of a life that extends on if that life doesn't match the abundance that Christ called it to? Psalm 25:5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 27:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the path, in the plain path, because of mine enemies. Psalm 34:11, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 119:12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. We don't need a prescription for it. It's obvious. It is more obvious than our need for food. It is more obvious than our need for air. The Word of God, when planted firmly into our lives, when made more than just a priority, but the way we do things, will have a sharp and strong effect on our lives. We see here the picture of this farmer who sows, having no idea how it works. See, in the first one, we see that sower is the Lord, sowing that word out there through his preachers, through his teachers, through his printed word, sowing it out there. But in this one, we are the farmer. Because God knows exactly how his word works. I would never sit there and say that he's one who has no idea how it works. The only people who'd be able to sow and not know how it works is us. So what do? We come to church on Sunday and we fill up our bag of seeds. What does the Lord say? We wake up on Monday, we open our Bible, and we put in our bag of seeds. Yes, Lord, this is what you say. Yes, Lord, this is what you've told me to do. This is what you've told me not to do. And then what do? We take those seeds and we go out and we take it to our lives. All right, Lord, this is how you say my character needs to be. Let me sow it in my job. Hey, Lord, this is what you've asked me to do. Let me sow that in my temperament. Let me sow that into my heart. Let me sow that into my relationships. And we sow that seed out there, applying the Word of God liberally. Applying it as strongly and as well as we can. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable. Listen, your number one reason for obeying the Word of God ought to be because it belongs to God and you love God and you fear God. That is our number one reason. We obey God because we love Him and fear Him. But we can never, ever allow ourselves to forget that His way is profitable. His way works. And we can't escape it. When we see people in obedience to God, we see things happening in that life that wouldn't normally happen. And when we see people go off and do things their own way, and you look at that going, well, you did that the most sinful way I could possibly imagine. Of course you're there. Of course, that's what happened. That's where that leads. And there's no negotiation, there's no wiggling out of it. If you grow, if you sow wrong, the wrong kind of seed, you get the wrong kind of plants and the wrong kind of fruit. You sow the right kind, you get exactly what you're looking for. Tell me this, if I sowed cucumbers, I bought packs and packs of cucumber seeds, how many packs of cucumber seeds do I need to sow before I get tomatoes? And yet how often do we sit there and go, well, I did my very best and I still don't understand why I didn't go God's way. You planted the wrong thing. You did things your way. You planted your thoughts. You planted your intent and your intentions. You planted your ideas, how you think it should work. And yet all the same, there it is. And yet all the same, the exact result you didn't want to happen, happened. So we must bring what? The Word of God to everything we do. It must be sown into every corner of our lives. Everything we do being a reflection of what God has said. It says it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Hey, listen, aren't you ever been wrong? It's hard being wrong, isn't it? Hate being wrong. Especially when you're wrong in public. You know, that's even worse. You know, when you do something, you embarrass yourself, you think you know something, you don't, you look silly. It's hard, isn't it? Every now and then, we need a little reproof. We need a little correction. We had a meeting one time, and the meeting was on dress code. And one of the people who came in, they were the head of kind of making sure, on the executive team, making sure that we were conforming to things and stuff like that. Well, the problem was, is we were discussing different rules, and at the time, there was only certain colors you were allowed to wear. Makes no sense to me whatsoever, but there were only certain colors you were allowed to wear. And then we're not talking like professional colors like black, blue, but like they would pick a scheme of colors, and that was it. There was no conservative versus liberal. It was just weird. Well, the person who was in charge of making sure we were following the rules wasn't wearing the right colors. And their shirt was inside out. Oh, yeah. And they're sitting there talking about professionalism and making sure that the decisions that we make. Meanwhile, we're just kind of staring at them going, nobody had the heart. They got so passionate about making sure that the workplace stays professional. Nobody had the heart to say, hey, listen, it's the wrong color and it's inside out. You know, nobody had the heart to do it. We were afraid at that particular point, you know, you poke certain people, they'll go off on you. And we preferred to have our jobs. We let that poor person sit all day with their clothes inside out. A little reproof helps, don't it? I like a little reproof. You know, every now and then, before I'll come up here, someone will stop me and they'll pick something off here. Let me fix that for you. Hey, listen, I'd rather that than me stand up here with something weird going on in my wardrobe the whole time. You know, but I get up here, I'm 3/4 of the way through the sermon, there's just somebody sitting out there going, you know, little reproof goes a long way. Hey, listen, we ought to be okay with reproof. We need to be okay being told we're wrong, especially from the pulpit. If it's the Word of God telling us we're wrong, we should desire that. Hey, Lord, fix whatever. Right, Psalm 139, search me. Search me. Because you know what? I would rather be right. I would rather be doing the right things than go the wrong way. I would rather make sure that I have it accurate than make a mess doing things wrong. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, teach me. Show me. And in everything we do, we put that out there. In everything we do, we obey the Lord. Or hey, how about those pastors? They get up in the pulpit and they throw that seed from the pulpit. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Tosses that word out there. You know how many times I've sat there and I've thrown something out and I've prayed. I said, oh, Lord, please do something. hey, this is what to do when you're hurting. This is what to do when you're in that sin. This is what to do when you're confused. This is what you do when you've got this kind of problem. And I throw it out there and I pray. And every now and then somebody will come up and they'll say something like, hey, Pastor, I needed that. You know, I got this going on. I need that. And you know what I do almost every time? Really? Really? You see that video? There's this video that went around of a pastor. He was doing the invitation at the end, and they were singing, and he had his head down, and he was like this, and he was singing, and somebody had come up, and they got right up next to him, and he didn't see him until they were right there, and he goes, oh, hey. He forgot he was waiting for somebody. When we apply the Word of God, things will happen. When we preach and teach the Word of God, things will happen. We might not see what it's doing in the ground. We might not see what it's doing in our heart, nor the hearts of those we share it with. But rest assured, where the Lord intends for growth to happen, growth will happen. And that we have to be clear about that caveat. Because remember what we just read, for some, the devil takes it. It never takes root. It's not for them. For some, they want it to take root, but it doesn't because of distractions or problems in their lives or because of biases or a desire to keep sin there. But when it hits good soil, when it hits where it can grow, it will, by all means, grow. And what we must do is we must sow liberally into our hearts, praying for a change in attitude, praying for a change in our thought processes, praying for a change in our level of knowledge and wisdom. And I tell you what, if you're not praying for those things, start now. Start now. Lord, give me a better attitude. Lord, through your word, give me a better thought process. Lord, through your word, give me more wisdom and knowledge. Because each and every last one of us needs it. And I'll tell you this, if you're applying it and it's not working, you're not applying it well enough. Because the word of God is always effective. Word of God always works. Must be the way we've planted it. Must be where we've put it. Must be our lack of conviction or commitment to it. We must sow liberally into our own hearts. We must sow liberally into our homes. How we treat each other. How we encourage each other. How we fulfill our roles within the house. Children, what is our role within the house? Number one, you are a student. For those of you that are doing homeschool, which I think is pretty much all the kids we got here today, listen, you are a student. That is your role within your home. You're also a student of life to listen to your moms and your dads. Do this, don't do that, listen. That is your job, and it is a full-time job to listen, to learn, both how to do things academically and how to be a grown-up. Listen. Honor, does the Bible not say, honor thy mother and thy father? Honor them. Honor them. You have a position in the home, and the way you behave in the home affects the home. If you're sitting there and you're like me when I was a kid, man, why am I getting in trouble all the time? Change the behavior and things are a whole lot better, right? Man, I feel like I'm grounded all the time. I had to tell my brother that. Man, my mom and dad are always grounding me. I go, what do you think they're getting out of it? They think it's fun. No. Everything's miserable when you're grounded. We don't get to do nothing when you're grounded. Wish you'd behave so you'd get ungrounded so we'd all have some freedoms. Now, hey, listen. Well, honor, obedience, respect. All right, what about the wife? What about the husband? Being the people we're supposed to be in there, standing up and applying the word of God into our positions within the home. Hey, listen, I know it's not very politically correct to say that moms and dads have their own positions and places in the home, but it is very biblical to say that, and that's why I'm going to keep saying it. It's biblical. A man, you have a place, and you need to fill it, or else the wife's going to have a hard time taking care of her stuff. Wives, if you're not taking care of your stuff, your husband's going to have a hard time taking care of stuff. We need to work together. Right? I reference this a lot. We got that Daniel hung it up above the mantelpiece. Looks real good. Kind of looks like the wall's smiling at me. But we got that three-chord strand. One chord's me, one chord's her, one chord's God. I've said this before. What were to happen if I were to give a chord to each of the kids and say, you pull this way, I'll pull that way, you pull... What happens? It comes apart. So if you're pulling your way, and they're pulling their way, and both of you are abandoning God, that knot's going to fall apart. What must we do then? I wrap myself around God and His position, where His commands for my life, and she wraps her life around God and His commands for her life, and all of a sudden you got unity again. And at that point, it's easy for the kids to hang on to stuff. It's easier for it. I saw a picture one time. I thought it was real cute. It was that three-chord strand, and all the kids had their hands on it. And I thought, that's exactly what it is. Why do we have houses falling apart the way that we do? Because there is no unity around God. We don't understand how difficult He is. You don't understand how difficult she is. Don't you both get it? A little less of you, a little more of Jesus. A little bit more clinging to Him. And any other problem you've got is going to be gravy. It's going to be easy. We must sow obedience to the Word of God. We must sow that Word of God into our hearts, into our homes, and into our day-to-day business. And how we hold ourselves with our integrity and our honoring God in everything we do. How about this in giving Him the glory? Anybody here, you're having a little bit of difficulty with the inflation going on? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Somebody did this. You ever see that movie Home Alone? And the little boy, he gets left behind by his mom and his dad. And there's a scene in there where he goes grocery shopping. And he spends like 20-some-odd bucks at the grocery store. Gets a big old bottle of Tide. Gets some other things that he needs for around the house. Somebody went to the store to buy that stuff today. And it was like 50-some-odd bucks. And you're like, man, and it wasn't even a lot. It was like some milk. You know, little odds and ends. Inflation's rough, isn't it? Anybody here, you having a hard time with your insurance? Insurance is being a bit of a pain for you. Hey, maybe not just the inflation, but I tell you what, taxes going a little bit crazy. Brother Art knows about the taxes. Tax code is changing like a chameleon out there. It is difficult. I was talking to a buddy who works in payroll. He told me about this guy he was helping from Argentina. Now, if you don't know about Argentina, Argentina practiced some socialistic type ideas for a while. Now their money ain't worth the dirt they walk on. It's not. They're experiencing last year, 2023, closed with them at a 211% inflation rate. Now, here's this guy's problem. He is from Argentina. He is here in America on assignment. He gets paid in the Argentinian whatever they got going on this week, which then gets converted to American money. And yes, he's paying his taxes. Yes, he's paying his insurance. And yes, he's still trying to send money home for his family to pay those inflated rates. What I'm saying is this. Give God the glory for the things that you have. I just sat there, he was telling me this, I'm like, man, aren't you glad for God's hand over you? Aren't you glad? Now listen, I would never sit there and say, whoo, I'm glad I'm not that guy. No, we pray for that guy. We do the best we can for that guy. We help out that guy. But the next time you sit there and you go, man, I can't believe this, I can't believe that, it puts it into perspective. God's good, praise Him. God's good, praise Him. Well, I can't afford the name brand anymore. You know what? It tastes the same as the off-brand stuff. It's okay. Now listen, should we vote differently? Should we vote to get rid of this stuff? Should we stand up politically against this stuff? Absolutely. But don't forget to praise God for what you have. Don't forget to praise God for His watch care over you. In everything in our lives, we sow that word. Lord, thank you. I might not be as high on the hog as I'd like to be, but at least I ain't in the mud. Be glad, be grateful. We see that as the word is applied, the word works. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now listen, we don't get to decide or know what it is God's trying to accomplish with his word or in our situation. Sadly, we're blind to that. But you know what? Sometimes I think that might be just a little bit better. Because I think if we really could see what God could see, we'd be more scared than we've ever been in our lives. But whatever it is that God is set to do in your life, he's going to do it. Whatever it is that word is going to accomplish, your obedience to that word is going to accomplish in your life, you better believe God knows what it is, and everything he intends to have happen is going to happen. That word's going to take root. It's going to take root. Now that's the fun thing, when the plant's alive for a lot longer than what we see, we don't get to see the root process all the time, do we? That root grows down deep. And depending on the plant, depends on how fast the roots. It's a little bit more complicated for me. I don't really get it, but the roots grow first. And it absorbs all that nutrients. And so it is with the change that takes place within us. As we begin to desire the Word of God and apply the Word of God, we develop the roots. What are the roots of the Word of God that have come into our hearts and minds? Number one is knowledge. I now know what's expected of me. I know how to do it. I know what God wants. Then comes wisdom. Man, I tell you what, we all know stuff, but using wisdom is the difficult part, isn't it? We all know what's better for us, but we don't always pick the better. But as we apply the Word of God and we seek to apply the Word of God, wisdom becomes more accessible to us. Well, I know what I should do. A sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about some hyper-spiritualistic thing here. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit being able to move you by the Word of God begins to take place and shape in your heart. You become more sensitive to Him. You can be pushed more by the Word of God. You consider it more. And then what happens is we go back to our reading here. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So that farmer, what's he doing? He's walking out every day. It says day and night he's walking out. Nothing yet. So you go back in, you come out the next day. Oh, yeah, look at that. Poking out of there. A little bit of green coming out. And you know what that looks like in the human life when we're sowing the Word of God into it and we're obeying it? You know what that begins to look like? I did it. Man, that guy came over and he said what he said and I didn't do what I normally do. Look at that. Lord, thank you for that. Look at that. A little bit of growth. You know what? Normally when this happens, I do this and then I've got to apologize. But look at that. There's a little bit of growth there. You sit there and you've read your Bible and you put it down and you go, wait, I didn't even have to think about that. I just reached for the Bible. Here it was, time to read, and I reached for it. I didn't even think about it. Look at the growth that's taking place just a little bit at a time. You sit there and you haven't prayed today and you miss it. So you get down on your, oh, Lord, please forgive me for being so late, but I need you today. You walk away, you go, hey, that went well. You're going through your Bible reading. Oh, look, I've made a lot more progress than I normally do. Here it is, February, and I'm still on track. Look at that. A little bit of growth. And then what happens? Even more begins to develop. Even more. Hey, you know what? He preached on that. And that made sense to me. You know, I've never quite been able to understand that. Now I get it. All of a sudden we're getting things we didn't get before. We're understanding things we didn't understand before. As we're reading, we're beginning to get more out of it. And we're beginning to sit there and say, you know what? That was a phone call I had last week. That was that situation I was in last week. That fits my circumstances exactly. We develop a deeper understanding. Oh, he was preaching on the woman at the well last week. And you know what? I've always read that from the perspective of she was a dirty, rotten sinner. I never once sat there and wondered what it must have been like to have been divorced as often as she had. The heartache that she went through. I never sat for a second to consider the way people looked at her in the marketplace. I never sat there and considered the mess her personal life must have been in. I never stopped to consider that perhaps the reason for so much discombobulation in her life was maybe because she had some weird personality quirks. Maybe she was a little bit difficult to deal with, or maybe everyone just dumped on her all the time and they were just throwing her out. I never stopped to consider what she was going through. And now that I have, she kind of reminds me of me. And all of a sudden, there's the ear of corn beginning to grow. And now I'm sitting there and I have a compassionate view of Scripture. I have a convicted view of Scripture. I'm more defensive of it. Instead of me sitting there going, well, I don't quite know, like people will look at your life, I don't quite know what they're growing there. Maybe they seem slightly religious, they seem to have a religiousness to them, and then when all of a sudden we start growing and our behavior becomes more defined and our behavior becomes more clear, that is a Christian. That right there is a Christian. That right there is clearly somebody who honors God above other things. It'll come through in the way we dress. It'll come through in the way we talk. It'll come through in the way we do our business. As those things grow, people will sit there and go, I know what that is. Right? It's almost like driving through a field, having never seen a field before, going, man, their front yard is muddy. And then several weeks later, you drive by and there's massive corn stalks growing. Oh, it's a farm. And that is our lives. At first, man, their lives are a muddy mess, man. That is crazy. Look at the mess they've got growing over there. They just got a big old muddy dump over there. And then as we grow, and as we sow that seed, and the word of the Lord does what the word of the Lord does in our lives when it's properly applied, people come back later and they say, oh, they were growing something. All the bad had to be stripped out so what they were laying out could grow. The Word of God does not need as much of our help as we think it does. Now, when I say that, I mean this. You are to obey, you're to learn the Word of God. You're to understand the Word of God. You are to obey the Word of God, right? I am to sow that seed. Everything God tells me to do, I will do. And that's the way of it. But I don't have to sit there and go, all right, now this is what I was supposed to do, but I'm also going to go pick up a few self-help books. I'm also going to see what this guy on the radio says, and I'm also going to try to apply some human understanding to this stuff to help make sure that it works. We don't need to do that. The Word of God is designed to do what God promises that it will do. It doesn't need our help to push it along. And some of us, I think we get impatient. I went to school with a kid. This was in elementary school. We were doing the whole, remember back when they make you put a seed in a cup and you had to watch it grow? This kid thought he could do it better if he dumped his cup upside down. So he taped it across, put the thing upside down, and was thinking that he just let gravity do its work. And yet how often do we approach the Word of God backwards and upside down and we go, I wonder why that didn't work. I applied every bit of my impatience to it. I applied every bit of my own way into it. And it didn't work. As it turns out, it doesn't take much encouragement for the Word of God to do what it does. It doesn't need our help. We think we can help. Well, what if I worried? You know what I mean? Go ahead. For those of you who have gardens and you're going to plant a garden this summer, go ahead and just kind of stand out there and put some worry on it. See how much that helps. It doesn't do anything. Here's an idea. What if I just got anxious about whether or not God's word was going to do what God said it would do? What if I just got anxious about it? Well, that's not going to do anything. Has God ever failed? Has God ever messed up? Now, we can do what the Bible says, and we can quench the Spirit. We can apply so much of our own carnality to a situation, we mess things up for ourselves. No, what we must do is we must apply liberally the Word of God and not get the silly idea in our heads that we can make things better. We see here at the end of the parable the harvest. Verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Why did the harvest come? Because the plants grew the way that they were supposed to grow. What plants do happened, and now it was time to get them out. There's this guy I was reading about, Giuseppe Schianti. I'm probably butchering his name, but he's not here to care. Is a man who developed a 3D printer that prints plant-based meat products. And what he does is he takes beetroot and algae and seaweed and stuff like that and some flavors and some seasonings, and he puts it into a paste, and he's got a 3D printer that'll print out a steak for you. Now, no, I can't tell, but it doesn't look like anybody's mouths are watering. And I was looking at this picture. It looked like a steak. And I said, well, it smells like a steak. I read the article over three or four times. There was a video on YouTube I saw about it. And I'm telling you, nobody said it tasted like steak. Nobody. Why? Because it was an imitation. It looked right. It seemed right. But guess what? I ain't paying for it. I ain't going to buy it. There was this other guy in that video that I watched of him. He was a butcher, and his family grew up being butchers, and he became a chef. And he had all this meat, and the guy with the 3D printer keeps sending the meat over to this guy for his notes. And he's kind of sitting there going, it don't taste good. Am I allowed to say that? It don't taste good. Why? Because it's imitation. We have a lot of people trying to imitate the word, either by different versions or different variations, or by lying about what it says and not reading it all together. And then they want the people to say, well, if we, people don't want, how do they put it? He was doing all this. He was doing this thing with the fake steak because he wanted to solve the meat problem, right? Because there are people out there who want to eat meat but don't want animals to die. It was like, what was it? I was showing something I was looking at to Danielle at Red Lobster. They had a little note in their menus saying that they no longer use plastic straws, but unless, like, plastic straws upon request, because they're trying to be friends to the ocean life. Now think a little bit. Sister Nancy's already there at Red Lobster, where they capture, kill, and cook a vast amount of sea life. Well, we don't want to use straws because it'll kill the sea turtles, which is fantastic for us here in Michigan, because I'd hate for one of my straws to kill a sea turtle. It must be blowing really windy on that day over there at the zoo. They don't want the animals to die, but they want meat. And that is a problem so many people who call themselves Christians have today. They don't want the word, but they want the growth the word brings. They don't want the Holy Spirit to convict them of sin. So what they must do is that we must create a fake atmosphere, a fake emotional tug upon people to make them believe that that is God. And that is why we see things we see in churches today. What was the fog machines, the light shows, the music that's played to tug and ebb at your feelings, to imitate the Word of God, to imitate the working of the Holy Spirit. Because if the real Holy Spirit were to show up, or the real Word were to be preached, we would also have to deal with the guilt. You cannot imitate the Word of God. You cannot imitate the Holy Spirit. Only the Word can do what the Word can do. Only God's pure, unfooled around with Word. We can't help it. We can't. All we can do is apply it and watch the wonders happen. The moment we try to manipulate it, the moment we try to make it our own, the moment we try to lessen the guilt and add more of the good feelings, the moment it's over. The moment it's no longer what it should be. You ever see the difference between the vegetables of 100 years ago and the vegetables today? The corn they were talking about here in the scriptures, you could fit 5 or 6 of those in your hand. Probably more if you had a bigger hand. The corn we have today, I mean, it's corn on the cob. We did that. Didn't initially look like that. We made it look like that. And I'll tell you what, I'm not one of those people who are so upset by that. I love corn on the cob. Hey, that was a good idea. Right up there with a corn dog. I don't know what it is. It ain't natural, but it's good, you know. But that's not what it was. That's not the way it actually was. We kind of bred things together and made things the way we wanted. I was working at the sub shop, and a guy came by. They were selling something special. They had purple tomatoes. You ever see a purple tomato? It was one of those trippy things I've ever seen in my life. And I'm looking at it going, I don't think I could eat that. Really don't think I could eat that. That looks weird. You know, we mess with stuff. And we think that it's better. When it comes down to the Word of God, we are to apply it liberally to our homes and not make it better or worse. Just let it be what it is. Don't try to help it. You apply it. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey God's Word the way that it sits in His Word, and I'm not going to mess with it, and I'm not going to go see what this off-preacher says or that off-preacher says. I'm not going to listen to them because they contradict the Word of God. I was listening to a guy today, ran a Christian podcast, and I was just kind of poking around listening to stuff, and sure enough, I was listening to him for about 5 minutes, and he'd already said 3 things that were completely wrong about the scripture he was using. I go, goodbye. Goodbye. It wasn't even all that hard. We got kids here that could probably exposited that verse better than this guy did. Why did he do it that way? Because he wanted to make a point, and that scripture was close to his point. So he had to bend and twist and manipulate it. Don't do that. You know where the emotion comes? Right? So much of what we manipulate is so we can have the good emotions. You know what the good emotion is? It's when the sin is out of your life. And you could try to fake it. You could try to manipulate it. You could try to pretend. But there's nothing like sin getting out of your life. There's nothing like that good, clean feeling. And what do we feel? We feel good. There's nothing like being able to praise God because He's reminded you of His goodness to you, or He's blessed you as He's blessed you in times past, and you're reminded of it all. There's nothing greater than gratitude in the hearts. So why do we try to manipulate it with the same 4 words said over and over and over again, with a tune and smoke machines and hands waving in the air? You can't fake it. You can't dupe it. We must have what is real. And you can't have what is real without proper Bible reading. You can't have what is real without proper Bible study. We must take the full Word of God and apply it liberally to our lives. Then comes the harvest. When I could sit there and say, man, my marriage ain't what it used to be. It's so much better. My finances, my own headspace. I'm so scared to use the word mental health anymore. This world's lost its mind. But your headspace, the way you feel in your head, I feel so much better now. Isn't that weird? I didn't have to take a pill. I didn't have to meditate for 5 hours going, om, om, om. I didn't have to do any of that. I didn't have to sit there and remind myself every 5 minutes that I've got some negative feelings. All I got to do is sit there and apply the Word of God and look, things are better now. The harvest has come. I'm happy. Go ahead, try to look around for that sin that was in my life. You're not going to find it. It's harvest time.
Once we do the sowing and the Word does what it does, then we get to reap the harvest. And that harvest is going to be so many things this world can't imitate. There's going to be things about you you've always wanted. There's going to be things about you that's going to speak to people around you who ain't got it. We just have to trust, obey, and liberally apply the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is not of us.